Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this feast of St. Gabriel, I'd like to say a few words about St. Gabriel, and then before we have the religious ceremonies for the two postulants becoming novices, during the ceremony we have an address to the postulants. Oftentimes amongst the faithful, we like to compare the saints. Who's the best? Who's the highest? Who's the greatest? And of course, those of you who are Irish know St. Patrick is Saint the greatest. And then those who are Italians and use their hands a lot, you know that St. Joseph's the best. And there's always this, who's the greatest? Who's the best? But you know, when we look at all the saints and angels, we know that God has given each one of them a unique role. Oftentimes, when we think of angels and archangels, think of St. Michael. We invoke St. Michael at the end of the Mass, that he might protect and defend us against the assaults of the devil. But this morning, I'd like to speak about St. Gabriel. Now, in the epistle that we read for today's Mass, it's taken from the book of Daniel the prophet. If you pay attention, you're going to learn something. Daniel the prophet had a vision of St. Gabriel. And St. Gabriel predicted the exact coming of Jesus Christ. Daniel the prophet received from the angel Gabriel that when they would begin to rebuild Jerusalem, which had been destroyed, when they begin to rebuild Jerusalem, it would be 69 weeks of years to the public appearance of the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Daniel did not even know when they were going to rebuild Jerusalem. But when they start, mark those dates, and it will bring about the coming of the Messiah, his public appearance. 69 weeks of years. Do your math. That's 483 years. That's B.C. before Christ. When did they begin to rebuild Jerusalem? In the year 453 B.C. So if they begin rebuilding Jerusalem in 453 B.C., in another 30 years, which is 30 A.D., it's the public appearance of the Messiah. And then he gives another prophecy. And then in 69 and a half weeks of years, the Messiah will be put to death. He'll suffer. He'll be rejected and suffer. You do your math, it comes out to be 33 and a half A.D., the exact time of Jesus' crucifixion. But St. Gabriel gave another prophecy. And this prophecy, Jesus makes reference to himself. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24, when the apostles asked Jesus, they said, look at these wonderful buildings, the temple, and all these beautiful buildings in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, amen, I say to you, there will not be left a stone upon a stone. This will not be destroyed. And so the apostles asked Jesus, when is this going to happen, and when is the end of the world going to happen? So in the Gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus is talking about two different things. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world. But Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. As was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, the abomination of desolation. And what does Daniel the prophet say? He's talking about the coming of Antichrist, that the continual sacrifice will be taken away. What is the continual sacrifice? Malachi said, from the rising of the sun to going down to the same, he prophesied that a sacrifice, a clean oblation, is offered everywhere in the world, everywhere, a continual sacrifice. Now we know that the sacrifice of the Old Testament, the Old Law, was in Jerusalem. This cannot pertain to that sacrifice. It pertains to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That there was a time which Mass was continually being offered throughout the world, all the different time zones. But when the abomination comes of desolation, the continual sacrifice will be taken away. As we know, our Lord had foretold, or God had revealed to Daniel through Gabriel, Angel Gabriel, the coming of the Messiah, the crucifixion. He also prophesied the destruction of the mass, the continual sacrifice. What's also interesting, too, about the Archangel Gabriel speaking to Daniel is he talks about the temple being destroyed and never being rebuilt, never. If you go to the Holy Land today, I've been there in 1980, you can see where the temple was. It's gone, never to be rebuilt again. Why did God allow the Romans to destroy the city of Jerusalem and destroy the temple? As a visible sign that the Jews have rejected the Messiah. The Jews have been waiting for a Messiah. They didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah because he was not the type of Messiah they wanted. They wanted an earthly Messiah to elevate the Jews. And that was not the type of Messiah that they expected. The true Jesus Christ, the Messiah who came and who we worship, we believe the Son of God, the Messiah, has proved that he is the divine Son of God by his miracles and fulfilling the prophecies. We know that he came. And he fulfilled his prophecies perfectly. But the Jews today, they missed the boat. They still wait on the side. But if they were to look at their own place where the temple was, where is that temple? Where is your sacrifices? It's been taken away. That is a visible sign that the old law was done, was finished, completed, and that it only was to prepare for the coming of Christ. What do you think of the abomination of desolation? I know we showed some of our high school boys and girls. It was a website from Italy, a traditional Catholic website from Italy. They had 499 pictures of Novus Ordo, modern Vatican II masses, supposed masses. It was utterly absurd. What they did in the church, at the table, not the altar, but the table, was ridiculous. There were masses offered by supposed priests out in the park, on the ground. Some of them were in shorts, just a little stole, and they looked like hippies. Some of them were dressed up foolishly like clowns. It was ridiculous. It was absurd. It was crazy. We don't, you know, some of these pictures are from Italy and Germany and the United States. Here in Nebraska, in the city of Grand Island, we have three dioceses, Omaha, Lincoln, and Grand Island. They have a clown mass, and the title is Going Bananas for Jesus. How utterly embarrassing. The worship of God is something sacred, something solid, something awesome and inspiring. It's not entertaining and secular and mundane with clowns and balloons and all the other things. We can look at that and just shake our heads and say, that's ridiculous. But there's something more important than that. We have to realize the reality of what we're living, the times in which we're living. The continual sacrifice is being taken away. It's been destroyed after Vatican II by not only the destruction of the Mass, but also when they altered the consecration of bishops, that the priests, the Novus Ordo priests, are not valid priests. Their bishops are not bishops. Satan was so clever, so diabolically a genius to do this incrementally and to bring about the apostasy, the great falling away. So today, after Mass, we have two young ladies to become religious. Tomorrow, we have our two deacons to be ordained to the Holy Priesthood. And can we fathom, can we comprehend the privilege that is ours to have the true faith when so many millions and millions of people have no clue what's going on? It's pretty interesting, though, because today things have gotten so absurd in the Vatican II modern so-called Catholic Church. Things are so absurd, that a lot of people are all of a sudden thinking. They all of a sudden maybe see the light, what is going on? But I do think that it's not far-fetched for us, not far-fetched for us to think that what precedes the coming of the Antichrist is the apostasy. And that's what we're witnessing today. We have the gift of the true faith. It's so simple, and yet people can't see it. In the modern church, Vatican II promoted the idea of worshiping with other religions. That's against the first commandment of God. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. There should be none of us in this church that should have any doubt that the modern so-called Catholic Church is not the Catholic Church. It is the Church of the Antichrist. It's preparing the way for a one-world religion and this false ecumenism, gathering all the religions of the world together. That is not the true religion. That is not the true Church of Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one religion that has the divine seal, the miracles, and the prophecies. And that is the religion revealed by God through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He, the Son of God, founded one church, the Catholic Church. Why do I say these things? I say these things because, especially for you young people, you young boys and girls, and young ladies and gentlemen here, especially you, you're the future of the church. And if you're not strong in the faith, you're not going to persevere. I believe that the apostasy, by and large, came about because of laxity and complacency amongst the laity, especially when it comes to Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. I remember when I first made my first received Holy Communion, first Holy Communion, second grade. And 1965, and the sister that taught us, prepared us for First Communion, she said, we're going to be having all-night exposition. We need to have everyone cover all the hours for the adoration. I went there to make a holy hour. There was probably like three people in the church. And when those three people left, I was the only one there, and I'm thinking, my gosh, I better stay. A sister imprinted in our minds, it would be really a shame if Jesus was left all by himself. Three people, and myself, maybe four people, maybe five. You know how big of a parish we had? We had 500, not people, 500 families. 500 families. We had five masses on Sunday. The school I went to, we had, when I looked up in the Catholic directory, early 60s, I don't know where it was when I was in school, but it was nearly 1,000 kids in that grade school from 7th grade to 8th grade. And yet, when it comes time for adoration, there's only 4 or 5 people in church. Let us not doubt for a minute that we, with the precious gift that we have received of the true faith and the real presence of Christ and the true priesthood, let's not doubt for a minute that if we don't appreciate it, we'll lose that faith. We experience this from time to time. People don't appreciate their faith. They don't appreciate our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. They don't attend Mass as often as they can, receive the Holy Communion, make visits to the Blessed Sacrament. They don't pray their prayers. Slowly but surely, they become worldly, and they lose their faith, and they fall away. What a tragedy. So when we have this occasion of the sisters taking steps, giving their life to God, and tomorrow, solemn occasion of 2 new priests to be ordained, I want this to be, for all of us, a renewal of our faith, and also a time of thanksgiving, thanking God for our precious faith, that pearl of great price. And in these times that we live, we know we're surrounded by so many occasions of sin, so many evils and temptations and snares that the devil has led, that has laid out for us to spiritually destroy us. How important it is that we be fortes and be strong in the faith. So let us pray that St. Gabriel has revealed these things. He was God's messenger to reveal these things about these future events. that have already been fulfilled by Jesus, his coming, his crucifixion, and the abomination of desolation and the taking away of the continual sacrifice. We're witnessing that today. Like I say, if you look at pictures of the Holy Land, no temple. They've had no temple for nearly 2,000 years. That, my dear friends in Christ, is prophecy fulfilled. There should be no doubt in our mind when we see prophecy fulfilled to the letter exactly, that truly what we believe is the truth, that God gives us that evidence. So as we continue with Holy Mass, let us thank God from the bottom of our hearts for the gift of the true faith. Let us also be grateful to God that there are vocations to know Him, love Him, and serve Him more faithfully. For our religious sisters, we're going to be taking steps this after this Mass and also tomorrow, two men to become ordained to the Holy Priesthood. This is a cause that should be a cause of joy for us and thanksgiving to God, and to renew our determination to truly love our faith and live. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.